Hello Lakeview, hello family and friends watching this video all over the world. I trust that you're well. I trust that you know the Lord's blessing upon you, that the Lord is blessing you and keeping you and making his face to shine upon you wherever you are. Last Thursday was Ascension Day. It's celebrated by many Christians 40 days after Easter Sunday. And 40 days because in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, we're told that Jesus presented himself alive to the disciples after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So today I want to introduce to you that doctrine of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to describe it, and then we're going to draw out four implications of the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And maybe next week we'll come back and look at the question about the kingdom of God that comes up in the discussion of the ascension. The moment Jesus rose from the dead, he began to talk about his ascension into heaven. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, he meets Mary in the garden just after the resurrection that morning. And he says to Mary, "Go to my brothers and say to them," what? "And say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." He didn't just draw attention to his resurrection. He drew attention to the fact that he was ascending to the Father. And within a few hours of meeting with Mary in the garden, he spoke to two travelers on the road from Emmaus. And they were a little confused because Jesus Christ had died and there had come this rumor that he was alive, but they hadn't seen him. And then remember in Luke chapter 24, it's recorded in verse 26 that Jesus said to them, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" That's the ascension. And Jesus had spoken about the ascension before his resurrection from the dead also, when he was in the upper room in that very poignant ministry with the disciples. He had said to them numerous things, but for example, John chapter 14 and verse 28, "You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I." A little later in the upper room in John 16 verse 6, "Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And in his prayer in John chapter 17, we hear Jesus speak directly to his Father. And he says to his Father, "I am coming to you, Holy Father." The ascension, the return to glory, the entering into his Father's house was clearly something that Jesus looked forward to. It was part of the joy that was set before him. He joyfully anticipated that moment of his return to glory. The resurrection was the beginning of that whole event. There was always more glory to come for the Lord Jesus Christ. And more than that, not simply was there glory to come for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was to our advantage. For a period of 40 days, the disciples had enjoyed several encouraging and challenging encounters with the risen Christ. We've looked at some of them over the last couple of weeks in our seclusion. But now he leaves them. He told them he would. It's not unexpected. And yet they weren't ready for it. They stood gazing up into heaven. And I think that we also seldom think about this moment in Christ's life and in Christ's ministry. Let me read you two passages that describe the actual event, that describe the ascension of the Lord Jesus, and then we'll offer some reflections on the advantages that come to us from Christ's ascension. First of all, Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. "Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. That's a quick summary that Luke gives us at the end of his gospel. And then he goes into more detail at the beginning of his second volume in Acts chapter 1. Here's Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and following. When Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That's the description given by Luke in Luke's Gospel and also by Luke in the opening of the Acts of the Apostles. So what are the implications? What are the advantages to us? What do we need to learn from this glorious doctrine? I want to draw your attention today to four. Implication number one, Jesus Christ is triumphant. This is a moment of triumph for the Lord Jesus Christ as he returns to the Father. When he came into the world, he entered our world with humility. He took the lowest place. He, we're told by Paul in Philippians, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. But when he leaves the world, not by his dying or by his death, but when he leaves the world, he leaves it in an act of exaltation. The ascension is an act of triumph. Remember that at his baptism, God had said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. At the moment of his transfiguration, remember when three disciples witnessed that glorious event, he said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And now, at this moment of the ascension, the Father receives the Son back to that glory that he had with the Father before the world began. It's a stunning event of triumph. Jesus Christ was triumphant, and Jesus Christ continues to be triumphant. He was triumphant over sin, over death, over hell, over Satan. Now, friends, that's something to sing about. And the psalmist gives us the words that we should use to sing of the joy of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 47, verses 5 and following. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to him. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits in the holy place. Or here's how Daniel the prophet celebrates that triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. He foretold it. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus has been taken up into glory, and to this very day he continues to triumph over sin and death and hell and Satan. Whatever is happening, we have no reason to be afraid. Many people are wondering if this is the beginning of some great tribulation. Is the mark of the beast about to appear? And I would remind you that the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ as a moment of triumph is a reminder to us that all our enemies are conquered and all our enemies remain conquered. Jesus Christ rules the universe. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, when Paul's reflecting on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said that Jesus ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Jesus Christ is filling all things. Implication number one, Christ is triumphant. Thank God. But there's a second implication. The second implication is that there's great blessing for us. In Luke's gospel, we're told what Jesus was doing at the very moment of the ascension. Listen again to these words. Lifting up his hands, he blessed them. His hands were lifted to give them a blessing. Blessing from heaven above. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. Blessing, you remember, in that biblical sense, is more than simply a prayer. He was giving them gifts. As he rises up into heaven, he was showering the disciples and all the disciples who would come thereafter. He was showering us with gifts. In Ephesians 4, Paul the Apostle reflects on the nature of those gifts. In Ephesians 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Wherefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." The principal gift that Christ gives in his ascension is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most precious gift that God has given to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us a new heart. The Holy Spirit is the one who works new birth in us. And Jesus speaks of him, the gift of the Holy Spirit, as the Comforter, another Comforter, whom I will send to you. Very particularly, John tells us in John 16, verse 14, that the Holy Spirit will, Jesus said, glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The greatness of the gift of the Holy Spirit to us is that the Holy Spirit's ministry in us glorifies Christ. He enables us to glorify Jesus. It's because the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart that you know that Jesus is a glorious Savior and that you know the Savior. And it is because of that self-same Spirit that you yourself are able to glorify Jesus, that the words that tumble from your mouth are words that glorify Christ, that the songs that come from your lips are words that glorify Christ, that the prayers that you offer up to the Father are prayers that glorify Christ. Left to ourselves, without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we'd be glorifying ourselves. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The ascension of Jesus is a moment of triumph, and he continues to triumph. The ascension of Jesus is a moment of blessing, and he continues to bless. There's a third implication. The ascension of Jesus is what I'm going to describe as a moment of security. And by that, what I mean is, the ascension of Jesus is the beginning of something new, something amazing. Jesus enters glory not simply as a private person or as an individual, but he enters glory, he ascends to his Father's right hand as a representative man. That's why he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." The Bible speaks of this representative ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in a particular way. He is the forerunner. So the ascension happens not just to Jesus, but it happens to Jesus as the forerunner. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Did you hear that? As a forerunner, or on our behalf. The ascension into heaven was a necessary part of the whole plan of salvation, because Jesus has gone on ahead of us. And because he's gone on ahead of us, the door is open. He goes to prepare a place for us, and because he's gone, the place is ready. He has entered there, the door is open, and all is ready. These are the joyful results that fall from the fact that Jesus is the forerunner on our behalf. Or listen again to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. You grasp that? We have a forerunner. He's already entered through the heavens and into the heavens. So let's hold firm to our confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Hold on. Persevere. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. You hear that? That's what we have. We have a high priest, and that high priest prays for us. The intercession of Jesus Christ and his praying for us even now while he's at his Father's right hand is an implication, a security of his ascension that he has entered in on our behalf. Or think of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. There it is again. He represents you, and he represents me to the Father. He's our advocate. So that when we sin, which we do, we ought not to deny it, but that when we sin, we may thank God that we have an advocate with the Father, one who intercedes for us, one who pleads for us. It's as though he turns to the Father when we sin, and he says to his Father, Father, that is one of my little ones. I have covered his sin by my blood shed upon the cross. Please forgive him. And the Father pardons us for Christ's sake. That's what it means to have a forerunner who's already entered into the heavens. The door is open. Our sin is pardoned and being pardoned. So don't lose sight of that. Do not lose sight of that forerunner. Remember that we are tethered to him. We are bound to him by the love of God and by the will of God. He has passed through the veil into glory, but there is a tether that ties him to us, and we too will pass through the veil into glory and go to the Father. Are these glorious implications? Christ is triumphant and continues to triumph. Christ blessed and continues to bless us. Christ is connected to us and gone ahead as the forerunner. And then there's one final implication, implication number 4. He will return for us. Listen to the words of those two white-robed figures. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The disciples saw him go into heaven in a cloud and glory, and he will one day return from heaven in cloud and glory. The disciples stood that day gazing, one might say gawking, and they were told not to do that. While there's a place for our longing and our yearning for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no place for our neglecting the here and now. What we're called to do here and now, however strange the time may be, is to be Christ's witnesses. The ascension does not occur out of the blue. It's not a random event. Listen to the sequence that we have in Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on him, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, we still have the power of the Holy Spirit. That power has not been removed from the church. The Holy Spirit is still active. He is the one who convicts us of sin. He is the one who brings and continues to bring new life into dead hearts. He is the one who glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the here and now, while we yearn for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are reminded that we are called to continue to witness while we wait. So do what you can. Do what you can where you are while we still have time. For the Lord Jesus will return. He will return. The ascension is a pledge of that. Even as the Lord's Supper is a reminder of that. We know that Jesus Christ shall return to take us to be with him. That where I am, he said, there you may be also. So may the Lord Jesus Christ comfort you today by his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. And we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is even now ascended into glory, the glory that was his with the Father before the world began. And we confess this day that Jesus Christ is worthy. Worthy of all the honor and the glory and the dominion and the power. And so we, like all the angels above and all the heavenly host, join in his worship and his adoration. And we pray this day that your good hand will continue to be upon your children in this time and in this place, that we may know the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that we may know the comfort that Christ is our forerunner, and that we may know the comfort that Jesus Christ shall return. Help us this day and every day to rejoice that our enemies are cast down and that Christ our Lord is glorified. We look every day for the return of Jesus. So keep us faithful that we might bear witness. In Christ we pray.